Our eyes now see our King. Is the Lamb upon the throne? Oh yes, our eyes now see our King. Is the Lamb upon the throne? Lord, our eyes now see our King. The Lamb upon the throne, you reign forever.
Heavenly Father, we worship you. Indeed, there is nothing too difficult for the Lord. And so we put our trust in you. For our nation, Nigeria, our trust is in you. And we thank you, Lord, because we know that you are well able to finish this work that you have begun. We worship you. As we go into your word, Lord, we come in faith. We come in recognition of our limitations. As one under authority, as said spiritual fathers, Lord, I come to ask for fresh mercy, unction from your throne. So, Lord God, you will help me to minister this word, that it will be a word of life. It will come out in humility, in power, in clarity, in the simplicity and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And it will do an internal, eternal work in our hearts, including my own, making our wills more submitted to your will. Our minds further illuminated with revelation knowledge from the Holy Spirit. And our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So that we'll be transformed from where we are. And we'll be lifted up to where you want us to be in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that as your word goes forth under the covering of our fathers, Lord God, let yokes of darkness and blindness, let them be broken in the name of Jesus. Give strength to our feet, Lord, power to our ankle bones. So we will rise up and enter into the temple deeper and deeper into your presence in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you help me, Lord, have mercy. Help me to be concise and precise, to redeem the time, not saying unnecessary things, to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. So as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, you help me to bring forth out of the treasure of your word things new and things old, causing all an eternal work to be done in our lives, so that we'll be refreshed, edified, and motivated to lay hold upon all you have sacrificed for. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Before going to the word this afternoon, I want to give honor to my fathers, Pastor Luby and Mommy Sarah, whose lives really inspire us, you know, to know that God is real and that God loves us with an everlasting love and that God deserves our total unreserved consecration. Their lives are an inspiration every day. Their patience, their prayers, their discipline is changing us every day. Thank you so much, Daddy. Thank you so much, Mommy. God bless you. And may you see the travail of your soul over your natural and all of your spiritual seed and be satisfied in Jesus' name. And may God see the travail of his soul in all of our lives. And may he be satisfied in Jesus' name. Amen. This afternoon, I have a word of exhortation under the covering of our fathers that dropped into my heart. And I thank God for the Bible study that really, really complimented and really confirmed it. So really, I'm just repeating what has been said already. Bear with me. Amen. I try to do it as quickly as possible so that we can get the essence of what God is saying and be able to walk in the reality of it. Amen. The message is entitled Pressing into the Stronghold of Love. Pastor Dave was talking about the power of godliness and how to make sure that we don't have a form of godliness, but in addition to the form, that is the attendance at church and all the things that we do, Bible reading and all that, there is a power working in the background that makes those things real and makes our interaction be that with the living person. The Apostle John says that our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. We're not doing rote. We are interacting with the human, with the living being. You know, and that interaction is changing us. That is what it's supposed to do as we go deeper into the stronghold. All right, so the manifestation of the sons of God is imminent. We know that because our fathers have preached to us and have taught us that God has a company of people that is preparing, that are going to carry the same glory that was upon the Lord Jesus Christ in this end time. And they're going to do that being characterized by what you call a meek and lowly heart. A heart that is willing to do all of God's will. A heart that does not hold anything back. The Bible says, I found in David the son of Jesse a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all. The key word there is all my will. And that's the perfect heart. And that perfect heart must be cultivated by anyone who wants to be a part of that company. So it's an invitation. Manifestations of sons of God, bride of Christ, the second coming of Christ, whatever name you call it, it's the same thing. Joel's army. It's a company of people with a perfect heart. So they cultivate the perfect heart, and once they cultivate it, because it's not natural, they maintain that perfect heart. They grow that perfect heart, and they manifest the glory with that perfect heart. So that perfect heart is the foundation for everything that they're doing. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. Give it to me, please, in the Amplified. Thank you. Amplified Bible. Thank you. Thank you for being quick. Come to me. Let's read together. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened with the things of this world. There's something beyond this life. We have two kinds of life. There's a natural life and there's a spiritual life. And God is saying, don't be overburdened with your natural life. And I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your soul. Next verse. It means that with your natural life, if you key into the spiritual, you can tap into a new lease of life that will make all, that will carry all the burdens. And you'll find it so easy to carry, and there will be rest. Say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your soul. Give God a clap of him. Hallelujah. That's what God wants to do. Refreshing, recreation, blessed quiet, relief, and ease. You can do it God's way. God's way, there is ease. And that's what Jesus left us. It's instructive, as our fathers have taught us over the years. Papa Ralph taught us, mommy and pastor have emphasized it, that Jesus would single out meekness and lowliness of heart. It means that everything else, his power, his wisdom, everything else comes from that heart. So if we have that heart, as it were, we have everything, okay? And we see that meekness demonstrated at several instances in his life. But we just look at it because it says you find rest for your soul. Now we know that our soul is made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. So look at the will. And you look at the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord Jesus Christ said, not my will. He said, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Now that's that rest he's talking about. That's that submission of the will. Then we look in Philippians chapter 2. In verse 5, we see that mind of Christ. It says, let this mind be in you, which was always also in Christ Jesus. Next verse. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal. It was his right to be equal with God. Next verse. But he made himself. And that's what God is calling us to do. This is something you have to do for yourself. We have to make ourselves in our mind, like he did in his mind, of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And you would have thought that in that form of man, he would at least be able to demonstrate his majesty and glory. Next verse. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. They were carrying the Prince of Glory, rushing him to throw him off a cliff. Can you imagine? Slapped his face. Can you imagine? the God of all the earth, out of whom came the sun. But to show you the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord lifted up the control. He just walked through them. He could have said, freeze! And everybody could have just... He did it in a very natural way. Just go to the edge, turn back, walk back, and nobody could do anything and walked away. Quiet. But it was a miracle. But without drawing attention to himself, that's the mind that we're supposed to have. Amen. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. That's why we're here today. And then we see the control over his emotions. When he was slapped and did not respond, he did not react. He only asked him, if I have said something that is wrong, witness to it. If not, why do you slap me? And that was all there is. With all the power of the universe at your fingertips, brethren, that's where we're going. You have to press into a stronghold to get there. And when you are in the stronghold, there are levels in the stronghold. It's the stronghold of divine love. But you must keep going deeper and deeper in the stronghold. You know why? Because there are forces working on our soul. The Bible says that there are fleshly lusts that war against our soul. They want to pull us out. And if you relax or you begin to release less power than you should, then there is a resultant drawing you out. It may take time, but Satan will wait for it. Like he did for David, as we will see. Wait for it and be able to set us up. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. But our portion is to press into the stronghold of his love and manifest his glory. And even when the glory is with us, we keep pressing on into that stronghold of love, so that we can enter into what he entered into, which is permanent perfection, where we are now fixed and we can change, and then we can sit with him in his throne. That's ultimately what we are created for. We're not created to go to heaven. Heaven is a gift. Heaven is a gift. The key is what we do on this side, so that we can now, because whatever you do on this side will separate the men from the boys. The Bible says that I will make them jewels in my crown. So when you are a jewel in his crown, and then when you get to heaven, then we now see the full measure, but we will see a manifestation on this side. That is the will of God. God doesn't want little babies. The Bible says, Pastor Lalu read it today. Bible says, no, but we grew up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what God wants for us, okay? All right, so this bride of Christ must prepare herself to partake in the feast of fat things. And let's look at Isaiah 25, verses 6 and 7. This meek and lowly heart is the key. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, 2, with the lowly is wisdom. And that wisdom is key, because you must have, there are levels and levels and levels and levels of wisdom. And it says, in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people what? A feast of what? Fat things, of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees, what? Well refined. Amen. Next verse. And he would destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. Satan has cast a veil. A veil that makes us live our natural life above our spiritual life. That's the veil. And it spread over all nations. And the only thing that can remove the veil is the wisdom of God by revelation. Because it will remove the veil. And then you now get a glimpse of who you really are. And once you see it, like Moses, you refuse to settle for less. Moses turned his back on Egypt and all the glory of Egypt at that time. Bible says in the book of Hebrews, I think it's verse in chapter 11, verse 27. No, Bible says he counted it, more riches to bear the reproach of a slave people What makes you do something like that? How can you go and be identified with refugees in your country from being from the family of the head of state? Doesn't make any sense. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches. It's a veil. Now, to us, that does not make any sense. But when you have light, it makes all the sense. Not doing that does not make any sense. Because we have to have light, the face of the covering. Next verse. Isaiah 2. He will swallow up what? Death in victory. That means that we will have dominion over death. Now, doesn't mean we will not die, but it does mean that we dictate the time, place, when we die, if we have to die. And in this case, we're not dying. We're going to go up to God to see God with the glory. So we're going to put death under, swallow up death in victory. But it is the revelation, the strategy that God must open our eyes to see as we walk in love. Because there are levels and levels of love. So each level of wisdom produces a level of love. Another level of wisdom produces another level of love. So we can get to where we're going. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. Because the Lord our God has spoken it. What's going to happen? He's going to turn things around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's going to fill this house with glory. And then we'll now turn around. Pursue, overtake, and recover all. And set a new standard. A new standard in science. A new standard in English. A new standard in arts. A new standard in politics. Become a new breed of people. That's what God is. And so that's why we have to take these things very seriously. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 19. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's read together. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory. So the ultimate thing is glory. So God is granting us according to the riches. You know, according to how much you can bear of the riches, he's releasing to you and I. Amen. To be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That talks about the life of God. Receiving the life of God in increasing measure. That Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. That we be rooted and grounded in love. No, that Christ dwell in our hearts by faith is talking about when we use the life of God to generate the power of God and the character of God in our conduct. So that Christ is now manifest in our conduct to varying degrees. The first level is that. No, the previous verse. Verse 17. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Be rooted and grounded in love in our wills. It's a prayer that pastor has that makes us pray 4 times a day. Minimum. If you're obeying the instruction. Next verse. All right. That we may be able to comprehend with all saints in our minds. What is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of the body of Christ? Next verse. And to know in our emotions the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we might be filled in our bodies ultimately with all the fullness of God. So love is taking a journey, and that journey is coming from the spirit into the will, mind, emotions, and ends up in the body. And when it ends up in the body, we now qualify to be filled with the fullness of God and carry that fullness. So we keep pressing in. There's no room to step out. Amen? That's the will of God for us. Okay? Right. And let's look at Philippians chapter 3, 13 to 14. Give it to me in the Amplified, please. Philippians 3, 13 to 14. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. But one thing I do, it is my one aspiration. Forgetting what lies behind, the victories and the failures, and straining forward to what lies ahead. Next verse. I press on. That's where you get the title, pressing on. Toward the goal to win the supreme. Let's say it together, supreme. Supreme. And heavenly prize to which God in Christ is calling us upward. There's a mark. There is a mark in humility. There is a mark in integrity. There is a mark in love that we must get to. And that's what God is asking us to press. And we see an example in David, because David was prepared for the throne, unlike Saul. So God, in his wisdom, used Saul as an instrument, because of Saul's desire to destroy David, used an instrument to prepare David. And the Bible says that David and his men learned to dwell in strongholds. 1 Samuel 23, verse 14b. They learned to dwell in strongholds. And I find it important. The scripture says, David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. Why? Because he was in a stronghold. Now, what is a stronghold? It has two definitions. A stronghold is a place that has been fortified so as to protect it against attack. You get the word fortress, you get the word refuge. Okay, that's a stronghold. So it's a place. And then again, a stronghold is a place where a cause or a belief is strongly defended and upheld. God wants us to defend the cause of divine love. We must defend it whenever the world comes to look for love. We must not disappoint God. We must demonstrate that love of Christ in his balance, in his fullness as we grow. That is the will of God for us. Amen. And we see that this is David. You know, in that cave, David was in the cave. Even when Saul came to the stronghold to try to kill David, he could not. He felt tired. He had to sleep. Because you can't. The Bible says God will not deliver him into his hand. So he thought, let me sleep. David was there. If he had just pushed, but Saul can't enter the stronghold. Because it takes a David heart to enter the stronghold of love. It's a David heart that will receive the wisdom. Wine on the lees well refined. That will take you into the stronghold of love. Because the principal part of love is wisdom. So the wisdom is the principal thing. And then you add compassion. Then you add power. In order to be able to walk in love. So Saul, a Saul heart that does only what is convenient for it cannot enter. And David had the opportunity to kill Saul. So first of all, God protected David physically from Saul in the stronghold. But yet there was another level of protection. He protected him from a Saul kind of heart that his own men had. His men said, this is the day. God has delivered your enemy into your hand. We will finish him. This is the day we have been praying for. Finally, God has answered our prayer. Beware of wrong advice. Wrong advice. But you know, like Pastor said, you cannot claim that they told me. If you accept it, it's because there is a loophole in you. David told them, no, he's the Lord's anointed, you cannot. And then now, just to show him that I saw him and I did not do anything against him, he tried to cut off a part of his head. Even that, his heart smote him. And then, instead of doing it their own way, the way the world would have done it, the way Saul himself, when he woke up and David told him that, see what I was able to do, if I wanted to kill you, just to show you that I am not against you, I'm a dead dog. I don't know why you are chasing me. They are lying against me. I'm not doing anything against you. You need to just leave me alone. It was Saul. Let's look at it. 1 Samuel. It was Saul that pronounced it with his mouth. 1 Samuel 23, verse 29. Quickly. 23, verse 29. Yes, okay. David went up from thence and drove the stronghold. So David was in the stronghold when Saul came. All right. 1 Samuel 24. All right. Verse 4 to 6. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day which the Lord has said unto you, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as shall seem good unto thee. And David arose and cut off the Saul's robe privately. Next verse. And it came to pass after that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master. This is a perfect heart. A heart that honors God and those in authority, even when they have not been good to you. In this case, now, we see David going the extra mile. He's not been good, though. Those of us that are in this house, we thank God for our fathers. They have been good to us. Amen. Let's give God a clap offering for them. They have been good to us. More than good. So we don't have any excuse. See what David is as the example is demonstrating. He said, the Lord forbid that I should do this not to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he's the anointed of the Lord. Do you know your father is the anointed of the Lord? Anybody in authority over you is the anointed of the Lord. You have no business bearing a grudge against them. You have no business feeling that, oh, see what they did. You honor the God they represent. That's the perfect heart. Because there is a solution. And that's the solution that God brought about here. What they were telling him to do was one way of doing it, but it was not God's way. Next verse. So David stayed his servants with his word and allowed, suffered them not to rise against Saul. And Saul rose out of the gate and went on his way. When he had gone some distance, verse 19 and 20, he now turned around and told him, see what Saul said. This is Saul's response. 19 and 20. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good for that thou hast done unto me this day. Next verse. And now, behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be what? Saul pronounced it. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh his enemies to be. Give God a clap offering. Amen. This was God's way. There is a God way of what you want. But it's in the stronghold of love. You must stay there. Don't listen to wrong counsel. And he said, and the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thy hand. And surely, as he said it, God sealed it. There. Because he was an authority over him. Make sure those in authority over you bless you. Make sure they bless you. Don't give them any cause not to bless you. Go the extra mile. It is the will of God. Because it is God you honor. It is not so much the person. Amen? But we see that decades later, Saul is dead. David is now king. He's comfortable in his palace. Amen? Battles are being won. There is more prosperity. Marrying more wives. And so David relaxes spiritually. Like we all have a tendency to do. I know you may say, but all of us have that tendency. When you just had a great victory, you know, a great miracle, God has just blessed you, the tendency, maybe I'll pray later. Oh, no, I read your Bible, you sleep. No, when the pressure on what the devil wants to do will keep you awake, read your Bible in the night. Now, you don't have time. You have appointments. Lord, have mercy. You have exam. You have a project. You have a course. You have to travel. You want to marry. It's not wrong to marry you, but because you are married now, you don't have time. May God have mercy. Don't let anything steal your time. Pastor Day said it beautifully. I'm just echoing it. Don't let anything steal your time. Because David relaxed. And he sat back. It's not once, it's not twice. He was in the stronghold. But the forces brought him out gradually. And David was unaware that he was coming out. He was set up. Then when he now stepped out on his balcony, what was not in his heart before came into his heart. What he was not supposed to see, he saw it. Choices he was not supposed to make, he made it. Feelings he was not supposed to be feeling, he felt it. I know you feel those feelings. I know you make those choices. But brethren, the fact that you are feeling what you are feeling doesn't mean God is the one behind it. It doesn't mean God is the one behind it. And not every decision that we make is of God. We have to make sure that we are aligning ourselves deliberately with God. There's a measure of humility that is required. Not assuming. That's the will of God for us. Amen? And because he was no longer in the stronghold, he stopped pressing deeper. Look at Proverbs chapter 5, 1 to 6. Quickly. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thy ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard what? Discretion. And thy lips may keep knowledge. That's it too. If you don't incline your ear unto wisdom and unto discretion, there is another option. Not our portion in Jesus' name. For the lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb. It's a spirit. Not necessarily a woman. It can be a woman or a man. But it drops as honeycomb. You know, and her mouth is smoother than oil. You will not know what is happening. You will think it's natural. It's not natural. It's been arranged. Next verse. But her end is what? Bitter as wormwood and sharp as a two-edged sword. Next verse. Her feet go down to death and her steps take hold of hell. What's the problem? This spirit doesn't have any power over you and I. You must leave wisdom. You must stop applying our hearts unto discretion for this to take place. So the key is to press into the stronghold. Amen? Now, why is it important to press into the stronghold? Well, we see it that these forces have always existed, and our fathers overcame them. So if we follow the landmark of the fathers, we also will overcome them. Amen? Look at Deuteronomy 17, verse 14. Deuteronomy 17, that's what God instituted for kings. David was doing this when he was with the sheep in the wilderness. This is what qualified him to be king. As Pastor taught us beautifully last week. So when thou art coming to the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me, wanting to be like everybody else. Rebellion is the spirit of the age. God says, this is how I want you to be. And say, no, I don't want to be like that. I want to be like everybody else. So you can see that already God anticipated and created a solution ahead of time. That this is going to happen, but I know what I'm going to do to help you. Next verse. But he shall not multiply horses to himself. Okay, the previous verse, verse 15, says that you choose a king over yourselves and somebody of your own people, not somebody from outside. Okay? Right. Okay, all right. Okay, right. Thank you. Whom the Lord shall choose? One of thy brethren shall thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. Next verse. Okay? But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, you shall henceforth return no more that way. That's prosperity. Horses represented wealth. You know, so he's saying that you're not going to go back to doing things the way of the world. There is a God way to make it in business. There's a God way to make it in research. There's a God way to make it in politics. There's a God way for everything. And that's the original way. Amen. And if you press into the wisdom of God, God will unveil our eyes and give us the power to do it. He's doing it right now. That's what God is doing. You know, you shall henceforth go no more that way. Stop doing things the way of the world. You cannot get a God result a worldly way. Next verse. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver or gold. So you see here immorality. You see here covetousness. You see here rebellion. That's why Pastor has been teaching us immorality, covetousness, rebellion. Teaching us those three spirits and teaching us how to overcome them. All right? And next verse. Next verse. And it shall be that when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. Next verse, this same word of God. He shall be with him, and he will read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to what? Fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes. To do what? To do them. Next verse. What's the end? That his heart, to maintain that perfect heart, he has to keep looking at the law and doing what is inside. Next verse. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand to the left, commandment of love, to the end that he may prolong his days in the kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. That's the will of God. So that's the instruction God gave. And we see David did it for some time, and then he did not do it again. But we see other people that did it. The Shunammite did it. Her son died. She watched her son die in her arms. And she just said, please, get the horse. We are going to see the man of God. Just keep speeding. Don't stop. Don't say you're stopping because of me. I know it's going to be a bumpy ride. Go fast. And they asked the husband, what's going on? He says, it shall be well. That's not a natural response. A natural response, egba me. Ha! You know the normal, see me, I didn't beg, I told him, She judged him faithful. I don't know what you are going through, brethren, but you need to judge God faithful. He knows exactly what he's doing. And if you follow him the love way, you will overcome that situation. She just kept quiet and she kept saying, it shall be well. It shall be well. And when she now got to the prophet, she now held, you know, I told you. But she comported herself as a woman of faith in the midst of a terrible situation. Very terrible situation. Amen. So we see no complaining. Abraham trusted God. God gave him a terrible instruction. That's your son that you love. You take him to that mountain and sacrifice him unto me. Why would you want me to sacrifice? You promised me this son. Why would you want to sacrifice him? This does not make any sense. The first thing is to say, this is not God. I reject it. I know that the way our children do in life, I reject. There's the way they do it. I reject. Abraham did not reject it. Abraham submitted to it, trusting in the love of the God he was serving. That even though the instruction looks like a hard instruction, there is love behind the instruction. It's important to trust God. To trust that everything God asks us to do is love. Wake up so early in the morning is love. If you don't wake up, there is worse coming. Go to this extent to do this, yes, is love. When we have that love at the back of our mind, that he loves me, and you know we are secure in that love, it's easier to obey as you pray. And then Abraham, of course, obeyed. And we see that in the end, Abraham received the generational promise. The promise was already there, but it was deep, deep, deep. It was inside the stronghold of love. But God said, now I know. Hadn't Abraham proven before? This is Abraham that had taken 317 of his servants, went and fought a war, and God gave him victory over 5 kings. This is Abraham that God had used, you know, to be a blessing to us and had prospered him. It's the same Abraham that God had kept it for the people in the land. It's the same Abraham. So Abraham had done so many things, but there was more in front. And Abraham kept pressing in because it has to do with the instruction. To obey the instruction and not let it drop. Next verse. Okay, all right. So we see that. Not next verse, next point. Okay. Now, in the stronghold, protection is not the only thing that is guaranteed. In the stronghold is the place where we grow our hearts. When you are in the stronghold, our hearts are supposed to grow in love. You see, there's a spirit in the air. The Bible says in James chapter 1 verse 27, it says that true religion or pure religion is this. James 1 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and keep himself what? Unspotted from the world. There is something that's trying to spot or corrupt or pollute our hearts. That's the key. So, but in the stronghold, as well in the stronghold of love, we are shielded from that influence. And then we can now grow. So not only do we enjoy physical divine protection, because the name of Lord is a strong tower. So just like David enjoyed protection physically, there's a lot more than the physical protection. There is the spiritual enabling environment that allows your heart to grow in purity, to grow in maturity, so that that heart can now get to a point where it can receive the inheritance. It was the kingship. The kingship had to be released unto David by someone in authority. It was Saul that did it in the stronghold. So God had already released it, but someone in authority had to release it. Bible says, believe the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper in the purpose. So you need someone in authority to release it. And he got Saul to release it. So it was a place of growth. And once you come out of the stronghold, you stop growing. You stop increasing in purity and maturity. Okay? All right. So we see that that's what God... So as we begin to now move, how are we supposed to do this? How does God want us to do this? The Bible says of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He is the pattern Son. He's our example. He's our goal. So the first thing is that we set our heart. You have to cultivate this. And this is what a perfect heart is. You need to cultivate a heart to please God, even when it is not convenient for you. It's very important. That's the key. And you can summarize it as what we read earlier on in Matthew 11. Meekness, which is receiving truth. Lowliness, which is acting on truth. So we receive. But the desire is to please God. So your focus is on God and not on man. And the Bible tells us, you know, that there is a prize. Bible says in Philippians 3 that we read, we say, I count not myself to have apprehended. There is a supreme, there is a mark I need to get to. You know, it's like you have a measuring cylinder and they say, fill it up to the 100 mil mark. You know, if you fill it up to 90, you have not filled it up to the mark. So the same way God is asking that we should set our hearts to please God. And we set it, we keep growing. So there is the mark and there is a mark. So we are currently at a mark in loving God. We are at a mark in humility, at a mark in integrity. But we're supposed to leave a mark for the mark. So so you keep moving. There's no place to stop. There's no place to look back. You keep going deeper and deeper. You please God and you honor authority. That's the perfect heart. You please God and you honor authority. And the prize is a meek and lowly heart. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Amplified. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Thank you. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let's read together. Be what? Firm. Steadfast. Immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always being what? Superior. You are looking at something above, not something below. That's why I say superior. Always being superior, going well above the expectation that men have, because you are looking at God and not men. So you'll always appear superior because you're looking at something else. There is light that God is shining in your heart that is coming, under authority, under covering, as you spend time in the Word of God. We'll get to that later. That feast of fat things. A good example was this morning when Pastor Dave was sharing Acts 7:22. I just noted it, to bring it out. That's what makes the Bible reading, so beautiful and refreshing. Acts 7:22, Moses was mighty in word and in deed. Just characterizes Moses. Okay? Moses was mighty in word and deed. Okay? But then in Proverbs 16:32, you see the scripture there that says, yes, that he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. So you if you recall, it says Moses was mighty in word and deed. So you can say that in that scripture, you can insert Moses there. It doesn't say mention anybody's name. But we know Moses, mighty in word and deed, put it there. And it fits because Moses had an anger problem. So he's slow to anger. Moses was mighty externally, but he could have spent more to be mighty internally. That's what the scripture is saying. And Bible says, he that ruleth his spirit. So it takes more spiritual power to do spiritual things than to do physical things. So so people can get prosperity, you can get divine presence. David was divinely protected in the palace. Yet he fell to immorality. He failed a spiritual exam, but he was okay physically. So we shouldn't be judging ourselves by how much money do I have? How much well-being do I have? Am I healthy? Thank God for those things. The key is that you should be looking at your gauge. Like Pastor Dewey said this morning. Your gauge. Your gauge should be working. And the gauge is self-judgment. You judge yourself. You and I, we judge ourselves. We examine. Don't condemn. You examine yourself. Bible says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Is your faith working? Is your faith producing? Is it producing what it should? I had pastor say something one day. Said things that used to take me like 7 hours. I do it in 1 hour. I thought I was the only one that had it. I said, I have not started. And see, that means that he's gauging it. Like Elijah, he bent down. What do you see? Nothing. Bend down. What do you see? Until the thing came up. Now bend down. One immediately the thing appears. So he can tell that there's growth. It encourages you to know that he's real. Me too, in my prayer life now, I'm seeing that some things are changing. It's not like before. Thank God for covering. Brethren, the thing is real. It is real. You can rule your spirit. Yes, sir. And you will just say, yes, sir. Okay. I'll keep quiet. Whatever you say. And when you have not done what you're supposed to do, if you are telling him, shut up, he said, you, shut up. If you are telling your tongue, I bridle you. You bridle yourself. You don't have any power over me. You find your tongue saying more than you expect it to say. The key then is to go back into the closet and retight. You retight the knot. And they say, I said, be bridled. Then we are okay. Yes, sir. I didn't understand it before. Now I understand. That's the way it's supposed to be. We can see the fruit of what God is asking us to do. Amen. So he says we go back. I took a detour, but we go back to that 1 Corinthians 58 in the Amplified. Let's finish it because I think that scripture is very important. Superior, always doing what is superior. Excelling, doing more than enough in the service of God, knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile. It is never wasted or to no purpose. What do you mean it's wasted? It's taking you to the throne. The labor is hiding you in the stronghold of divine love. You and your loved ones become protected physically and spiritually. So when negative influences come, they bow, because there's a force field of divine life around you. And you can tell, your gate goes up, alarm goes up, danger. So you can tell, okay, this, and you bind the devil and loose the angels. And then you continue and nothing happens, because you are aware of what's going on. It's very important, okay? So that's where it starts. You know, it's that heart to go the extra mile and to honor authority. Next thing is to build a culture of continuous repentance. I learned this from mommy. You know why we mention all these things? It just occurred to me. Why do we mention all these things? No, pride, prayerlessness. You know, because even though you are not committed, you know, David was in the promised land, but he was marrying more wives, meaning that infirmity was not controlled. It was not controlled. So even though he was not doing anything wrong, this is not about right and wrong. This is about following the master's example and I'll be pure, you know, and making sure that we are vessels of honor, fit for the master's use. We empty ourselves out of all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Not that we cloak it, because, you know, there's a way you can cloak something in and do it in a culturally acceptable way. Yeah, that's what they did. Marrying several wives. That's culture. The real fact is that you have a problem in that area. You have a weakness in that area. And that area should be dealt with before it manifests as those things. It awaits. You have to kill them and flush them out. So while you are in the stronghold and you are enjoying, you are looking around. What else is there? I learned that. Mom is always looking. Always looking. She will, and then the next time she will add another sin. I say, Mommy, are you fishing for? But you know, they are there in seed form. So they must be flushed out. When they are flushed out and the life of God takes its place, that's when you are free. If it's there in seed form and you are dominating it, it's not yet out. That's why we confess sins. No, you say, but I didn't commit sexual immorality. Really, in your thoughts. You're thinking action. God is thinking thoughts. Okay, you didn't commit lying, or you didn't, okay, ingratitude. You did not, because there's no situation where you ought to be grateful and you have not been grateful. But that thing is there. So if you confess it deliberately, the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse it and remove it and replace it with gratitude. So that by the time the situation comes up, you come out grateful. That's the will of God. So that's one. So there's a culture of continuous. The Bible says godly sorrow. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 10. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. The sorrow of the world is, I'm sorry because I got caught. But the sorrow towards God is, I'm sorry that I disappointed you. I'm sorry that I am allowing this sin to defile my temple. I am going to clean it out. That's godly sorrow. And Bible says, next verse, verse 11, behold this selfsame thing. You sorrowed after a godly sort. What carefulness it wrought in you. It brings out fruit. What carefulness. What clearing of yourselves. What indignation. Things you used to do before, now you hate them. Indignation. I will not allow that. What rubbish. No. What fear. What vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things, you have what? Approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. That's divine approval. Amen. It's the will of God. Okay. Next thing is prayer. Two times. The daily traveling prayer. You know, good morning, Jesus. You know, the first hour, second hour, if you can make it. encourage you strongly to make it. Okay? And pray, because when you do that, you release the power. That's where the power is coming from. You release it. You generate it, really. No, that's how you generate the power. And then, by watching and praying, you release the power by speaking God's word. My pastor has told us that once every 6 hours. But please give me that, our prayers. That's why we pray these prayers pastor has given us. Those four prayers are extremely important. We pray for humility to ensure that that heart is there. Father of confession, that's the next. Okay, next one. I choose to fear God. We choose to fear God, okay? So that we submit to the will of God. That's that perfect heart. To make sure you are pressing to the stronghold. Next one. Father, please give us afresh and increasingly more of the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the present complete knowledge and spiritual understanding of you. That's the feast of fat things. So you can keep seeing light when you read your Bible. It's very important. That light keeps you seeing what God is seeing. Next verse. Next prayer. Next one. Yes, and we love God more with all of our hearts, wills. Now that love, you are injecting it into your will, mind, emotions, and strength. We now love our brethren and all men more as Christ loves them, washing their feet by forgiving, confessing, suppressing their sins by the blood of Jesus, asking life for them, praying for them in tongues. We know it offered. We can confess it. But, you know, it's a prayer, asking life for them. So our focus is on brethren. To ask life for them, you know, wash their feet, ask them, pray for them in tongues. Go on, next part of it. Once every 6 hours. To cover for every hour throughout the day, and by this, in every temptation, with our thoughts, to receive more of the mercies of God for wisdom and strength, so we will and do of God's good pleasure, love righteousness and hate iniquity, have fullness of joy and pleasure from God, to overcome what? All temptations. That's the end of it. To overcome all temptations, so you stand in the stronghold. Amen. All right. Okay. So that's prayer, very important. Then daily Bible reading and meditation. It's very important. Daily Bible reading. May you do it daily. No, you eat for every day. You don't depend on yesterday's food. Now you have to make some. Many times I've found out now that you have to make sacrifices to do these things. You have to make sacrifices. Something has to give. Otherwise, you will not be able to do it for 1 or 2 days. And the consistency is key. Because one thing builds up on the other. So if you miss a building block, you know, then, you know, God can still do it, you know, but it makes it more difficult. It's important to be at the right place at the right time to do the right thing. That's what God wants us to do. Look at Psalm 19, verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. We read the Bible under apostolic authority or apostolic covering. It's also important to listen to apostolic fathers. So because in their light, you see light. We get keys, just like I demonstrated, like Pastor Dewey this morning, you know, linking that. You know, it's a key. So anytime I'm reading my Bible now, and I see the word mighty, you know, I'm going to be trying to think, okay, what could go there, you know? What else could God be talking about? That's what makes it interesting. So God can say so many things from so many places, you know, and it becomes really interesting. Look at Psalm 19, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. All right, so we hide the word of God in our hearts, so that we don't sin against God. That's where the word of God is supposed to be, because it now enables us, you know, to live for God. And we're not going back. Yeah, we confess our sins, but we're not going back over the same thing over and over again, because the word of God is embedded, is engrafted into our hearts. Amen. And then the works. We then do the works that God, God wants us to do. Bible talks about in the book of Ephesians, you know, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So we do the works of faith with power. Those are the ones we have spoken about. And then just the good works, you know, visit the fatherless, the widow, you know, doing things for people, you know, and other things that we do, social things that are good to do, like Dorcas used to make clothes for people. You know, things to do that are good. You do those things because it's love. It's love. It's just that the priority is to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. But yet, we cannot leave that out. We need to do that as well. So we do that. When we do that, then, no, the Bible says, men will behold our good works and they will glorify our Father who is in heaven. Let us pray. Let us talk to God. I know it's challenging us to go in deeper, but remember, there is love in the background. And there is so much awaiting us in that stronghold. God will set you a table in the presence of your enemies. But they are outside the stronghold. You and God are in the stronghold. And your cup runs over. So you begin to live a life that is independent of your physical circumstances. You live superior, above, and you change your circumstances to align with your expectation and your faith. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of your goodness, oh Lord. You have been faithful all of my life.
All my
sing it
life,
to the Lord.
You have been so good.
With every breath that we are able,
I will sing of your goodness.
Raise up that right hand to God. Put our left hand on our hearts. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that you have sent to me today, showing me that I should not be satisfied with what I have in you. Rather, it is your desire for me to press in onto the mark of a perfect heart, the mark of the love of God in his fullness in my mortal flesh. Father, I ask for mercy. Help me to humble myself under your mighty hand, to continue to give myself to instruction that you have given me, to forget the successes and the failures of the past, and to press in for the mark of that high calling, that supreme and heavenly calling, to continue to be steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that my labor is taking me deeper into my destiny until I enter to sit with you in your throne. Have mercy. Help me not to faint. Help me not to give up. Give me light, that in your light I will see light, and death will be swallowed up in victory, and every veil of darkness will be removed over myself, over my seed, and over my generations. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's pray in the spirit. Rabakatomis. Jenkene Rebenika Katumas. Rosekataba bam bam bangedes. Rapapa banko de Bilkendal. Ropa Kotomela. Make it Rebenika Namas. Jeka Sota. Zepas. Rosette. Jabak. Jabakatome. Ropa Katambe. Ropa Babako. Kaka. Zepan. Kaka. Koan. Roman. Jamaka the Manica, the Babababababanicana, Rabababababatuman, Rabababababakata, Bekata, Beka, Bekatabam, Bade, Makotobam, Bikan, Reda de Boba, Jacket de Bedicom, Mapo, Bokata, Robo, Mekatam, Batoam, Badia, Rasone, Bacale, Janama, Cosea, Meko, Bam, Bam, Bade, Robobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobob Rabai, Rengalababa, Tekalababa, Tenea, Rabababa, Begeleveberia, Ronga Nevaba Sante, Benga Neveberiana. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to pray. If you're sick, you have a need, this powerful Lord is here, present to heal. I want to stretch out your heart in faith. He's a father, he's a friend, he's faithful. His goodness is right here. Stretch out the hand to him. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence on the authority of our spiritual fathers under covering. We come to pray for all those whose hands is raised up, Lord God, as a token of their need. We send the word of healing, Lord, into their soul and to their body in the name of Jesus. Be thou made whole in Jesus' name. Amen.
With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
All my life, Lord,
and all my life you have been faithful.
You've been so faithful.
So good. With every breath that I am able,
I will sing
of the goodness of God.
I will sing
of the goodness.
Thank you, Lord, for putting a song in our hearts and making our lives unto you a song of praise. all of our lives. Your goodness compasses us round about, day by day, night after night, bringing us further along to the fullness of your purpose in our individual lives. We say thank you, Lord, for being so merciful, so kind, and so gracious to us, through our fathers leading us into the fullness of your glory and purpose. What a great privilege. We're so grateful, Lord. It's not because we run or will run, it's simply your mercy that keeps following after us and making it good. And so we come to the end of the service today, Father. We say thank you for your great mercies and kindness. Great has been your faithfulness indeed. Thank you for the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And thank you so much for the palpable covering of the fathers here today. We're so grateful. And so under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the shepherd and bishop of our souls, under the covering of the fathers, we declare and say, the Lord bless and keep us all. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us. And the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord God give us peace. God will make us head and not tail, so that we're above only and not beneath. And so we prosper in everything we set our hands upon to do. And we are at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in Jesus' name. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. Yes, the Lord will satisfy all of us with long life and show us the fullness of his salvation, the perfection and the fullness of Christ, and the imminent manifestation of the glory of the Spirit without measure. And so the Lord anoints us afresh with the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John, in Jesus' name. And share the grace. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us all, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell you, you're blessed in the name of Jesus. Under the covering of the fathers, there'll be no bones broken. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.